We do many different things every day of our life, but there's always a reason for doing so. We always have a motive for the things that we do in life. We got up this morning, we ate our breakfast. We didn't eat our breakfast for no reason. We ate our breakfast because we were hungry. There was a reason why we did it. We ate our breakfast to give us strength, to strengthen us for the day. And we eat because if we didn't eat well, we'd become ill, eventually die. There's a reason, there's a motive for eating. Tomorrow morning, you'll get up out of bed. Even though you may be tired, you'll get up out of bed and you'll go to work. Why? There's a reason. There's a motive why you do that. Why is it? Well, you go to pay the bill, get money to pay the bills, to put food on the table, to provide for your family, to feed them, to protect them, to clothe them. There's a reason for it. There's a motive behind it. And the list goes on. You think of all the things you do throughout your day. You think, why do I do this? There's always a reason. There's always a motive. Everything that we do in life, there's a reason or a motive behind it. And the question of motive is of great importance. Just think about our justice system for a moment. You think of someone who stands before the judge. They've been arrested for taking someone's life, and they'll either be charged with murder or manslaughter. You think of someone, maybe two friends who are out for the night, and maybe, well, the drink went in, the wit went out, and there was a scuffle, a fight, and one hit the other, and he fell and hit his head, and maybe he died. We read that. We hear those things on the news of such things. But then you think of someone else who goes out, has a knife in his pocket, and just walks up to someone in the street and stabs them. We heard that even this week, that little girl in England, how the little 9-year-old girl was stabbed to death playing in the street. Well, you think of two people who killed, maybe someone who drove along and killed a child, ran out in the street and knocked them down. Different motive. And they stand before the judge. They'll either be charged with murder or manslaughter because one was premeditated, but the other was not. The motive plays a big part when it comes to the sentencing. You think of parents. When you go to discipline your children, well, if your child has had a moment of carelessness, maybe an oversight, maybe they didn't mean to do something, or maybe in another case, they were willfully disobedient. When you go to discipline them, chastise them, the motive will play a big part in how you will react and how you will pass discipline upon the child. Motivation is always a factor. Always a factor in all that we do. It's very important. And motivation is very important to God. You see, God acts out of the greatest and purest motives. We don't. You see, often our motive is revenge. Often our motive could be jealousy. Our motive could be hate. We want to get back at someone, and we have a motive for doing it. They've done us wrong, and our motivation is not always for the right reasons, but not so with God. God always acts out of the purest motives. Everything that he does is a reflection of his divine perfection. He can do no wrong. He does everything for himself and for his own glory. Now, I believe, friends, this morning, this verse we've read together, our text in verse 17, it presents something of a principle to you and I this morning, a motivation, a reason for doing the things that we do in life. This single verse, very small verse in God's word, but there's so much in it to guide us, to show us what we do, the reason for how we do things. It sums up in very simple form all that God requires of us in Christian conduct. It's a believer's rule of thumb, so to speak. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You see, everything we do as Christians is for the motive, the reason of bringing glory to God. We must have an eye upon reflecting and exalting his glory in all that we do. The best of our actions toward God, they fall apart without the proper motivation. What did Paul write in 1 Corinthians 10:13? Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. goes on then to speak about the love. Love must be that motivation for action. Love for God, love for a fellow man. 1 Corinthians 13, that great chapter of love. And he says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, have not love, in other words, have not the right motivation, it profiteth me nothing. It's good for nothing. See, if you do the thing for the wrong reason, it doesn't bring any profit to you. That's what he's saying. Listen to this quote from John Calvin. Listen very carefully. He said, there's no part of our life or conduct, however insignificant, which should not be related to the glory of God. Listen to that again. There's no part of our life or conduct, however insignificant, which should not be related to the glory of God. And that's important to hear this morning, friends, because it's very common for Christians to separate the spiritual from the secular. Church attendance is something we offer to God. Our daily devotions are something we offer to God, but school, but work, but our hobbies, those things are all separate. We set those to the one side. We don't do those things to glorify God. We do the church things that glorify God, but all those other things, we separate them into two things, but that is not right. As heavenly citizens, everything that we do in life should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for His glory. Because what is man's chief end? It is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Now, I'm sure you've often heard it said, people always do what they want to do. And that is true. We always do what we want to do. But the question then is, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? And why do you do what you do? You see, every action reflects a motive and a priority. And in everything, our motive must be Christ. It must bring honor and glory to His name. That should be our guiding principle in life. Does this bring glory to Christ? If I do this, will this bring honor to His name? That must be our guiding principle. And that's what I want to speak on this morning. The title of the message is simply, A Guiding Principle. And I believe our text, this verse 17, gives us that guiding principle. Notice firstly the foundation of this principle. In other words, what is this principle built on? Or better still, who is this principle built on? The simple rule of thumb for Christian conduct, this principle, it may appear at first to be inadequate to guide us through all the twists, all the turns that life brings us, the different changes and circumstances of life. But I assure you, friend, if you live by this verse, if you live by this principle, there's more than enough in this verse to guide you through life. It's a sure and reliable a reference point, as the North Star was to the sailors in centuries gone by. When they were lost and they were sailing, they looked for the North Star. And they followed the North Star, and that guided them home. And this principle, friend, will bring you on the right course. It'll guide you in the right direction. You can take it with you anywhere you go. And it will always help you and guide you in all the practical issues and choices, decisions that you must make in life. Follow this principle. You see, this principle is sufficient because the foundation, the basis of this principle, is an all-sufficient person. And that person is the Lord Jesus. We're told that we're to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Just think about His name for a moment. Lord Jesus. You see, He's called Jesus because that points to His humanity. That is His human name. And He is one of us, friend. Born into the human family, He knows us. He understands us. He felt the infirmities and the temptations that we feel. He faced the challenges that we face. And there's not one thing in your life, and sometimes we forget this, but there's not one thing that you and I will ever face in life. Oh, it might have a different name in the time that we live in. But behind it all, there's nothing that we'll face in life that Christ has not faced and overcome. Therefore, He understands us, friend. He's tasted death on our behalf. He's called Jesus, but he's also called the Lord. Lord points to his deity. He's one with God the Father. He's the eternally pre-existent Son of God, possessing all authority, all power, all majesty. He is presented as the only mediator between God and man because, as the latter verse of our text says, it's through him that we are to give our thanks to God the Father. It's through Christ. He is the God-man, the all-sufficient mediator between God and men. And Paul wrote in chapter 1 that it is in him we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. He writes there in chapter 1 and verse 15, for he said, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him are all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He's the foundation of this principle. This principle is based on him. And notice then what now we're called to do then in this name, in the name of the Lord Jesus. We're now welcome to work, to walk, to speak, and live in this name of this all-glorious, sufficient Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's the greatest honor that we could be given, friends. That's the greatest honor that we could ever be given. And that's why this principle is more than sufficient even for us this morning. We do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Jesus, our Savior. Jesus, our Lord. That phrase, in the name of Jesus, it's familiar to us, isn't it? What do we say when we pray? We end our prayers by saying, in Jesus' name, don't we? And sometimes we don't even think of why we do that. We tag it on, it's like a magic word, it's like that we say, and we just think it's going to, we add this on, it's just magic that will make all things happen that we've just prayed for. But what does that name really mean? You see, in our day and age, a name isn't much more than a verbal symbol, a few letters grouped together. Speaking of someone's name doesn't really have any significance, but back in those days, the names brought great significance. It spoke of someone's full identity, the whole compass of who they were and what they did. And the very nature of that person was found in their name. The biblical names have great meaning. And so when we're told here to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul is speaking here of the totality of all that he is and what Christ has done. Who he is and what he has done. And what does the Bible teach about the name of Christ? You think of it. Well, to be connected with the name of Christ, to be identified with the name of Christ, means that we're saved. We've been born again. You think of how the apostles baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. After people were saved, they were brought into fellowship. They were baptized by the Holy Spirit in the name of Christ. They were united with him in salvation. I wonder, friend, what does the name of Christ mean to you this morning? Is it just a name you read off? A name that you sing off in our hymns? And then the name you hear preached about, but personally speaking, the name means nothing to you. You know, you can often identify with that. Someone might say to you, do you know so-and-so? You might say, oh, well, I know the name. I've heard someone speaking about them, but I don't know the personal. I don't know them personally, but I know who you're talking about. Sinner, maybe that's you this morning. You know the name. You know who we're talking about, but you don't know Christ personally. You've never been born again. You've never repented and turned away from your sin. You've never trusted in Christ as your Savior. He's a name. Someone you know about, someone you've heard about, but not someone you know personally. Praise God, this morning you can know him personally. You can know him as Lord and Savior. Here we're told to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who were saved are brought into union with him, into that saving relationship with him, and therefore we belong to him. And everything that we do, we're doing as belonging to him. And friend, therefore, that is why it is so important for you to have, and me, to have a good testimony. Because when we do something, when we sin, when we fail, when we let the Lord down, we're bringing dishonor to His name. Because people say, I thought you were a Christian. I thought you were saved. And you did this, you did that. Let us seek to live holy lives. Let us live to bring honor to His name. But notice here this name. This name, there's authority behind the name of Christ. The name of the Lord Jesus. You think of Christ Himself. He is our example because He came to earth and worked in His Father's name. He was under the authority of His Father. And we are under the authority of His name. Whatsoever we do it in the name of Christ, under His authority. We are to think of Him being in charge, in other words, of all that we do. We're not in charge of our own lives. We belong to Him. He has authority over us. And He calls us to live in light of that authority. What did He say? He said that all authority had been given to Him in heaven and in earth. We're taught that God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. That in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth. That every tongue should confess that Christ Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we now operate under His authority. He told us to pray. He told us to make requests to the Father in His name. That is with His full authorization. That is why we say in Christ's name, because we're praying is in His name, because He has authority. Because there's that unity in the Godhead, because He does the will of the Father. We pray according to His will in His name. We ask in His name because we're asking what He wants, according to His will. Think of how we read in the Bible that demons were cast out by the disciples in His name. He had authority over the demons. Missionaries and preachers were sent out for His name's sake. He had authority over them. The apostles gave instructions and commands to the church by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has authority in the church. Everything is under His authority. We're all under His authority. And so when Paul says we're to do all things that we do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it means that we're to live, we're to move, we're to walk about in full submission to Christ's authority. We're not our own boss anymore. We're under His authority. We're to do what He commands, and to do it with confidence, because we do so under the greatest possible authority. Friend, you think if you were in the royal household and the Queen gave you a special charge, a special charter, that you have authority from Her Majesty to go and do this. Go anywhere in the land. No one can stop you. You have My authority. Friends, we are on the authority of Christ. And when He commands us to do something, we ought to obey. Because He doesn't make a mistake. When you encounter those situations and those circumstances of life, those things that cause you fear and trembling and trouble you, remember the One who's in charge of you. Remember the One under whose authority you are. Do you seek to fulfill His commands? Do you seek to answer His call? Do you seek to do what He wants you to do and do it quickly, do it faithfully? Knowing what He wants you to do and do it fearlessly, regardless of the cost, regardless of what will happen, because it's His authority. You see, many Christians today believe God's word and believe that many things that's happening in the land are wrong. But they're fearful to speak out. They fear the authority of the land. They fear maybe their boss in the workplace. Friends, we're not to fear anyone but God, because we're under His authority. When it comes to standing in the open air on the 13th, or the 27th, sorry, down here at Duke Street, will you be there? Because He commands us to stand for truth and righteousness. We're under His authority. And that is part of what it means to do all things in His name. Another aspect of doing all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is that we do those things in His place as His representatives. Because we are His ambassadors, and in this earth. He told his disciples they would be persecuted in this world and hated for my name's sake, because he was leaving them to be his ambassadors, to be his representatives on earth. But he said they were able to perform miracles in his name. He didn't leave them alone. He was still there with them by the power of the Spirit. They were able to meet the need of others in his name. They're able even to receive little children in his name. In other words, they were to continue his work on earth as his representatives, as his ambassadors. Friends, we do all things in his name as his representatives. And when we do these things in his name, we are not to seek our own agenda, but rather we're to seek his agenda. We do all things in harmony with his will, not our own will. When situations and circumstances meet us and trouble us, we're not to turn aside from his way. We're to follow his agenda down to the very last letter. We're not to deviate. We're not to go our own way. We're to do things in his name. To do what we do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ also means to seek the advancement of his cause on the earth. We're to be willing, even glad, to suffer for his name. We are to display a readiness to work and labor for others as a demonstration of love toward his name. You think of, you go home today and you do a word search of the amount of times you get that phrase, his name, or for his name's sake. In the New Testament, it's full of it. We are to advance his cause. Even Christ said we're to be ready to forsake houses, brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, or lands for my name's sake. We do it all for his name. Speaks of total commitment. Speaks of laying aside our agenda, laying aside our plans. Friends, are you willing to put yourself out? Are you willing to put yourself out for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you willing to set aside your best laid plans, your agendas for the cause of Christ? You see, we do all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. We do it in the pursuit of his cause for the advancement of his kingdom. And when you consider the decisions and choices that you must make in life, friends, make sure you make them for the right reason. Make sure you do it for the cause of Christ and for the glory of Christ. Whether that is moving house, whether that is moving job, whether that is doing something else, some plan you've put in place. Make sure everything that you do, find a partner in life, whatever it is, make sure whatever you do it in the name of Christ for his glory. That he is your guiding principle, that he is your motive, he is the reason why you're doing it. That you're seeking his will, his agenda, his priority. I wonder, friend, do you seek the Lord's will for these things in life? Or do you make your own decisions and then worry about the cause of Christ afterwards, the glory of Christ afterward, if it fits in with your plans? No, he must come first. This also means we do all we do in his power. You see, he has power. When the disciples performed the acts of healing, they attributed all they did to his name and through faith in his name. Even the enemies of the gospel, when they saw the power of the Lord Jesus displayed in the miraculous healing of people, demanded to know, by what power or by what name have you done this? Acts 4:12. And they were told plainly, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, it has been done. Even salvation, even the forgiveness of sins, the greatest miracle that has ever taken place in this whole world is accomplished through his name. Acts 4:12, because Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's all in his name. And so to do all that we do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ means that we do it all with complete dependency on his power. When you find a situation that you are unable to overcome, remember, you're under the authority of one who has power. Do you trust in his power? Do you trust in His strength? Do you depend upon His mighty work to work through you, to bring you through that situation, to bring you through that problem? This again means to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so you can see that doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ means much more than just tacking on a phrase at the end of our prayers. His name means the totality of His person, of who He is. And to do all things in His name means to do what we want to do in vital union with Him, in obedience and subjection to His authority. Complete dependency upon His power, with the priority placed on His cause and His agenda and the pursuit and advancement of His kingdom as His ambassadors or representatives on earth. Is that your guiding principle in your Christian life, friend? Is it glory of God? Is that the motive for doing what you do? The foundation of this principle, two more points, a lot shorter. Notice, secondly, the instruction in the principle. The verse not only presents this wonderful principle to us and shows us who it's based on and what we're to do, but also tells us how we are to do it. Notice that He tells us we're to do it completely. We're literally to do everything in Jesus' name, whatsoever ye do, in word or deed. Consider what we're to do in word, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Remember, we are His representatives. So every time we open this, every time we open our mouth, we're speaking in His name. What did Paul write in Ephesians 4:29? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may administer grace unto the hearer. Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Friend, what's coming out of your mouth? Does what come out of your mouth bring glory to the name of Christ? How is your speech? If the Lord was sitting behind you physically, you didn't know He was there. He heard you talking and you looked round, would you be ashamed? But yet He hears. He hears everything that we say. Well, the tongue does so much damage, friends. Remember that we speak in the name of Christ. Be careful what you say. It all goes on to say, this verse tells us we're also to do with respect what we do indeed. We're to make sure that all of our actions are done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What you wear is to bring honor and glory to Christ. Be careful what you wear. Don't fall into the trends of the world. What you eat, how you clean your house, how you drive, how you raise your family, how you work, the attention you give to your church, it's all to bring glory to Christ. Let me say something just in passing, even to the housewives and mothers. We live in a generation when if you're occupation, if you said I'm a housewife or a mother, well, society looks down upon you. Don't let them look down upon you. If you're just a housewife and a mother and that's your full-time job, you can do that to the glory of Christ. Praise God for it. Never let society and what they say is the norm make you think, I should be out working, I should be doing this, I should be doing that. You are working. You're doing a job for the Lord. You're looking after your house. You're looking after your children. And you can do all that to the glory of God. We all, no matter where we are in life, what our job is, we do it all to the glory of God. The kind of words you speak, the things you allow, the things you deny, whether you eat or drink, Paul wrote, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And he goes on to say, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. Not unto men, that's important. Because we can do all these things and we can fall into the wrong motive. We can do it to be seen. We can do it unto men. And we can be doing the right things, but we're doing it for the wrong reason. And that's just as bad as doing the wrong thing to begin with. We need to do it unto the Lord. So you can see plainly this fundamental principle of conduct in the Christian life is all pervasive. There's going to be no partitioned areas that we keep for ourselves. But rather all that we do, whatever it is, from the smallest thing that you do to the biggest thing you do, we do all, both in word and in deed, it belongs to Him. We do it unto the Lord in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we're confronted with a moral issue or one of those endless decisions of life that the Bible may not give the specifics on, but we need to ask ourselves the important questions about our motive. There's things, you know, that in the Bible, and that we might say they're not black and white. We're just maybe not totally convinced. But you need to ask yourself this question. Can I do this without compromising my Christian profession? And more importantly, can I do this thing in the name of the Lord Jesus, whose glory and reputation is at stake? And friend, if you face something in life, you're not sure, should I do this? Should I go there? Is that a sin? Is that not a sin? Ask yourself this question. Can I do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Will it bring glory and honor to His name? Will it tarnish His reputation if I do this? And the answer is yes, then, well, obviously, we don't do it. Make sure a guiding principle is that we're doing the things He wants us to do, that we're heavenly-minded Christians. One final thought, the appreciation in the principle. Notice this verse tells us that we're to do all this for the Lord gratefully, with glad-hearted joy. We're to do everything in Jesus' name, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. Thanksgiving is a vital part of all that we do in Christ. In Hebrews 13:15, we read, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning thee." Thanksgiving is to be the natural manner of all that we do. And since we're to do all that we do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we have a good reason to be always in thankful mode, continually giving thanks to God the Father through the Son. There's no point coming, doing the work for the Lord and then grumbling about it. Saying, oh, I have to go and do it. I know I need to do it. Yes, I know I'm going to do it, but I wish someone else would do it. I'm busy. Or we do it thankfully. We do it with a thankful heart. We do it, Lord, I thank you, I'm able to do this for thee. When I think of what you've done for me, think of how you died and gave yourself for me. Nothing I can do is too hard. Nothing I can do for thee is too much. Rather, we should be looking opportunities to serve the Lord. Looking opportunities to be able to do a work for Him. And do it with a thankful heart, with a smile on our face, praising the Lord that we're able to serve Him. We are to be thankful. Notice the phrase at the end of verse 16. Verse 17, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. It's really saying through Him to God. Because, see, everything that we do, Paul tells us in Romans 11:36, for of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Everything that we do is to bring honor and glory to God, because God is worthy of all things. God is worthy of all our honor and praise and glory and thanksgiving, because God is the source of all things we have received. And we receive all those things with thanksgiving. We thank the Lord for our food. We thank the Lord for our clothes. We thank the Lord for our building, all that we have. Our health, our strength, all that we have comes from God Himself. And therefore, our motivation in everything that we do should bring honor and glory and gratitude and thanksgiving even back to Him. Thanksgiving is to be a vital part of this principle that guides us through our life. I want you to understand, just as we close, friend, that we can do many things in life and do them with the right motive. But the heavenly citizen, as we've been considering even in this chapter about the heavenly-minded citizen, the heavenly-minded citizen must do everything to glorify Christ. Motive is so important. Motive is so important. And I wonder, what is your motive for the things you say? What is the motive for the things you do? Paul's charge for us to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is from a heart of gratitude to God. And such a heart changes everything. It's the heart of biblical Christianity. I hope you can appreciate what a wonderful principle this is. It applies to every situation that you find in life, everything you encounter. I pray you'll seek to follow it, that it will guide you and lead you in the way the Lord wants you to live. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, I am crucified of Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And if we live with that verse in mind, thinking of what Christ has done for us, then this principle will be easily lived out for the heavenly-minded Christian. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. The Lord help us even to live out this principle. May it be our guiding principle for life, that everything that we do as individuals and as a congregation here would bring glory and honour to the wonderful name of our Saviour. The Lord bless us and write his word upon our hearts this morning. Let us close our meeting in a word of prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for thy word even to our souls this morning. Lord, we do many things in life and we do many things for the wrong motives. But Lord, help us always to be looking unto Christ. Lord, may he be our guiding principle. May the glory and honor of his great name in all that we do in word or deed. Lord, may we seek to uphold his name and bring honor to his name, bring glory to his name. Help us to live by this guiding principle, Father. Lord, bless us as a people. Encourage us even today, Lord. We think of those who may be with us who are outside of Christ or are tuning in online. Lord, who know nothing of the Savior as a personal Savior. May they come even this morning to trust him as Lord and Savior, that they may too be able to live and bring glory and honor to his great name. Father, go before us now as we leave this meeting. Be with us even tonight, even at the gospel service. Bring the people back. Bring the stranger in under the sound of thy word. We pray and ask it in our Savior's precious name. Amen.